Does your mother know you're out, Cecilia? Does your mother know I'm about to steal ya? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and the University of Philosophy, and the University of Happiness and Joy and Peace and Harmony. And Cecilia was once with us as our secretary, but now she has gone on to another dimension after she reached the age of 97. But of course, Cecilia is a lovely lady. But does your mother know you're out, Cecilia? Does your mother really know you're out? And of course she does. Every mother who sends her child out into the world sends her child out into the world as fulfilled and as magnificent and as wonderful. If a mother ever worries about her child when she goes out into the world, it's because the mother is worried about herself. She's worried about what she would do in the circumstances that a child finds himself in. But of course, every child finds himself in the circumstance that the mother worries that they're going to be in. Now, how is a child going to handle themselves in the circumstances that they find themselves in if their mother worries that they're going to find themselves in circumstances that is difficult for them to find themselves in it and handle it? Well, and that can be a trying situation, can't it? However, Sibylla Agabova has found the solution to that. She said to her daughter, as her daughter was out playing in the yard with the other children, she said, "Sweetheart, surround yourself with your pure white light of love, and you will always be perfect." And so her daughter always surrounded herself with a pure white light of love. This is what she has done all of her life, and her life has been one magical symphony after another. And her mother has the transcriptions of all the symphonies. She loves them and delights in them. Can we all say the same of ourselves? Do we speak the perfect word for whatever experience we want to have? Do we always realize that as the absolute philosopher, we are the one who creates the philosophy that we live our life by? And if we live our life by the philosophy of being ourselves and having fun, that's not an easy philosophy to live your life by, and because many others in the world think that that's being irresponsible. Well, it probably is the most responsible responsibility we could ever be responsible for in our responsible life. We have the opportunity to totally be in charge of every experience we have if we want to. We have the opportunity to be totally in charge, just like Sibylla taught her daughter. All is in divine order. I'm surrounded by the pure white light of love. I like me, I like me, I like me. And her daughter went through life like that. And she has just gone from one mountaintop to another. She went to the top and has the best child in the world. She went to the top in banking. Then she's going to the top in all the other fields that she's interested in. She is an unlimited child, an unlimited being. And also she's a student at the University of Healing. That might help a little bit too. But all these things add on to it. Who are the children in your life? Can you tell me who one of your children might be, Angie? Stefan, do you know who one of your children might be?
My thought.
Your thought. That's okay. He has his church is called Thought Works. Our thoughts are our children. And what kind of children do you have in your life, Gregor?
Magnificent.
Gregor says he has magnificent thoughts in his world, magnificent children in his world. Can we all say we have magnificent thoughts in our world? Do any of us have any illnesses or do we have any problems that we're facing? You can be sure that it is only because we have let thoughts get into our being that don't belong there. How do we get those thoughts out of our head? Well, we don't. We can never get the thoughts out of our head. So what do? We put the thought in our head that we want there. So if you say to yourself, "I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me," a billion zillion times, the thought that is not beneficial to you has no room, and it gets pushed to the side, not by you, but by disuse. Do you know what the word atrophy means? Atrophy means to sort of become nothing. Like, it's like a seed that you put in, no, not a seed, but a plant that you might put in the pyramid and seal up the pyramid. And it would become smaller and smaller. It'd become dust eventually. But the thoughts that we are uninterested in having in our brain, we just let them be, give them no attention, and they just dry up and blow away. And when they dry up and blow away, beautiful things happen. Because then the real thoughts, the real things that are important in our life, they take charge. They take over. Ellen has a garden around her house. And in the garden, she has planted many beautiful flowers and many beautiful weeds. Now you say, why did she plant weeds in her garden? Well, she thought they were flowers. And she let the weeds confuse her, because the weeds looked so nice and green and so pretty. They had such a lovely cast to them. But then as they grew older, she realized that they really were weeds. They were really things that wanted to take over all her beautiful flowers. And she had to go into her garden herself. She asked her handyman to go in and pull it out, but he didn't know the difference between a flower and a weed. So he took out the flowers and the weeds. And so Ellen decided she had to do it herself. And she went in and she found all of the weeds and pulled them out and threw them to the side and put them in the trash can, never more to come up. But you see, this is what we do. We don't necessarily go in and have our handyman pull out the weeds. We go in there and pull out the weeds ourselves. But our weeds are not our negative thoughts, because the dirt, the ground, is our negative thought. And the ground is always there. And the ground grows positive seeds in them. They grow the seeds of flowers. And negative seeds are the seeds of weeds. And so a weed seed, and growing in the negative ground, grows so abundantly. And the positive seed grows so gently and so tenderly and so fragile. And this is why in our consciousness, if we have positive seeds, that they must be given all the loving care and the gentleness that we can give them, because they are fragile. They are seeds of tenderness. You know, people say, negative things happen quicker than positive things. And why? Because they are stronger and they can stand the tide of emotions and problems that you have. We want to always be aware that we want the fragile, gentle flower seeds. How many of you know what an orchid is? Well, an orchid is a fragile seed grown in the Midwest and the North, temperate zone. However, an orchid grown in the jungle is a weed. The orchid grown in the jungle grows so fast and overwhelms everything. It just grows and grows and grows and grows too much. And the people in the jungle don't like the orchid. But the people in the temperate zone love them, because they are fragile in the temperate zone. You see, we love things that are fragile in the temperate zone, because we then can be the master of them. We don't love the weeds, because they master us. So in your thoughts, make sure that every one of your thought is a beautiful flower. Make sure that every one of your thoughts is a beautiful thought that is you'd like to have expressed in your life. And let all of the weed thoughts, or the thoughts that are unbeneficial to you, let them be cast into the fire. And remember, you are the only one who does that. You are the only one who makes that choice. Are you ready to make that choice today?
Yes.
Yes, Ellen says. And Ellen, how are you going to make that choice?
By liking myself. I say, I like me. I'm divine order and peace.
And that's a fragile thought. Now, what is a strong thought? I hate you! Remember? In the Bleep movie, the I hate you thought was just an ugly, strong, oof. And the fragile thought was the snowflake, where the Zen Buddhist spoke a prayer over the water. And it became a bunch of snowflake-looking crystals. So think about that. If you ever are faced with a problem that seems too big to handle, give up on it and go to its solution. And when you're in its solution, it's not too big, because all it is just a fragile little flower that you bless and you love, and soon it too will become grand and glorious. Yeah. My grandmother used to grow flowers in her living room in Kingston, Illinois. It's a rather cold area. And winter and summer, she grew the same flowers. They're these ones that we have out here that have all the points on them. What do you call those flowers? Ellen has them all over the place. Anyhow, they are flowers that they're not really flowers. They're just green plants with stickers on the point.
Pine. Huh? Whistling pine.
Muslim pine?
Whistling. Whistle.
Spell it. Whistle?
Yeah.
Whistling pine? Oh, I'd never heard of that before. Whistling pine. All right. So they're called whistling pine. And they're always doing just fine. They do not grow with a vine. They just grow like a pine.
So.
And they make a rhyme for the pine in the fine. Okay, so be careful that you don't get stuck on these things, because they can invade your area and invade your world, and they become like weeds if you let them get out of hand. So thoughts are things that we want to be very careful of, and we want to speak the positive thought, the beautiful thought at all time. Stefan, did you have a good thought for us for today?
I like me. I am divine order. I am peace.
I like me. I am divine order. I am peace. So said Stefan Stressley, direct out of his mouth. Thank you, sir. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you and bless you all. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you.